In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we approach the annual day of Pentecost celebrations next Sunday, we're reminded that the care of Jesus took to prepare his disciples for the life that was to come for them after Jesus' ascension. The 3 years that Jesus spent with his closest friends was filled with his concern for them. He drew them in close so that he could teach them about a new way to live, a way that was shaped not only by Jewish law, but also by love, first for God and then for their neighbours. Jesus taught his disciples by encouragement and example, by parable and by prayer. The passage you just heard from the Gospel according to John is a section of Jesus' final prayer for his disciples, and importantly for all those that the disciples would minister to. Jesus' prayer to his Father was not a silent prayer, as he so often encouraged people to do. This prayer was prayed out aloud so that all his disciples would hear what he was saying. Jesus knew that he was soon to face significant trial, violence, and ultimately his death upon the cross. It was an imperative that the disciples knew that this was a part of God's unfolding plan for the world, and that their reaction to it was not to be retribution, rather it was to be love, justice, and peace. It was also imperative that the disciples knew that they were to be a crucial part of God's revelation that was perpetually unfolding in their midst. Jesus needed them to understand the part that they were to play in the continued ministry of Jesus in the world. He reassured them that they were not to be left alone, and that the Holy Spirit would come to them as an advocate and a comforter to guide them. In the section of Jesus' prayer that we have today, we hear how concerned Jesus was that the disciples knew that they were already bound to him and his heavenly Father. As Jesus and the Father were one, so now the disciples were also to be included in this very intimate relationship. His emphasis was on unification and mutual participation in the call that God was making of them. That call was to go out into the world and to make disciples of all nations. Each person that they were to encounter in their ministry was also included in Jesus' prayer. Those that were to come to believe in Jesus through the ministry of the disciples was also to be bound in the love of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's almost a Trinitarian sort of overtone to this prayer. You, Father, are in me, and I am in you, and may they also be in us. This all happened before Jesus died upon that tree. For us that live in the post-resurrection and ascension world, we draw the same comfort from these reassuring words in Jesus' prayer. When we say yes to the call of Jesus through the Holy Spirit and to seek a life that puts Jesus and his teachings at the very centre, we are assured that the very essence of Jesus is within us. The Holy Spirit works through each of us to continually draw us into this mutual relationship with the triune God, which in turn draws us deeper into a deeper relationship with each other. The essence of our church is this mutual relationship and self-giving. Christ is the head and we are the body. Christ stands forever in this posture of self-giving, giving his love to anyone open to receive it, no matter what is happening in their lives. We who have accepted Jesus' self-giving love are the conduits and the connectors for those that are seeking it. Saint Teresa of Avila wrote about what it means to be in this relationship with Christ. Saint Teresa was a 16th century noblewoman who chose to live a monastic life as a Carmelite nun in Spain. She was a mystic and a contemplative, and the author of a significant body of spiritual writings. Saint Teresa says that our life, that each disciple is a part of Christ's body on earth. Christ's witness is conducted through their limbs, his preaching through their mouths, his love is made known through their work of mercy and the quality of their common life. The church itself, the body of our common life in Christ, is a sacrament for the salvation of the world. St. Teresa's sentiments illustrate the significance we play as a part of the body of Jesus Christ and the responsibility we have to be an example of his love in the world. We can reflect on two examples of people witnessing as the body of Christ. First, we have the story of Paul and Silas that you heard in the reading from Acts of the Apostles this morning. And the second is a testimony that I'll share with you about a doctor that I met in 2009. First, the reading from Acts this morning centres on the ministry of Paul and Silas and provides a very clear example of what it means to give witness to Jesus through our limbs, our mouths, and our work of mercy. These two apostles found themselves in a very difficult predicament in Macedonia. One day they witnessed a young slave girl possessed by a demon being exploited by her owners. In an act of mercy and love, they stepped in to cure her, but their act resulted in economic loss for her master. For their actions, they were captured, they were beaten, and they were jailed. When the earthquake struck and their shackles broke free from the walls of the jail, most people would have ran, aiming to get as far away from that jail as possible before daybreak. But Paul and Silas did not run. They stayed. When the jailer realized that his captives might have fled, he was ready to take his own life, because he must have known that his failure would result in his death. And I couldn't help but thinking about the North Korean nuclear disarmament negotiators that were executed this past month because of their failure to convince our president to reduce economic sanctions. As the jailer was about to kill himself, Paul spoke up to assure him that they were still there. And this very act of mercy saved the man's life, and very likely also saved his family's lives and the lives of the other prison guards. The jailer was transformed, and Paul's brave and loving act overwhelmed him, and he fell at Paul's feet. There he asked him how he could be saved. In response to the guards' yearning for salvation, Paul and Silas retired to his house, where they had their wounds tended to. Paul gave verbal testimony about Jesus Christ, and no doubt that they were the body of Jesus acting out his love in the world. After his baptism, the man's heart was opened and he celebrated with an act of hospitality. Joy filled their house that night, but it so easily could have been grief. Their lives were changed because Paul stayed and gave witness to Jesus Christ. The second example of this witness I heard in 2009 when I met a doctor from Pakistan at my old church in Sydney. A woman in our congregation had been a missionary in Pakistan many years before, and she had befriended a number of Christian families, and this man was the son of one of those families. Dr. Reginald was the medical superintendent of Pennell Memorial Christian Hospital in Bannu in Pakistan. He'd been working in the area for some 25 years and was well known. And Pakistan had been fighting the Taliban for some time, and the region in which he worked was quite unsafe. One day on his weekly field trip to care for his poor patients, he and his driver were kidnapped. Blindfolded, they were driven to a secure location, many hours from their homes. They were threatened with death if they made any noise. And when they reached the captors' holdout, they were shackled and held in a small, stuffy room. Every day, four times a day, a Muslim cleric would come into the cell, read from the Quran, play Islamic songs, and try and convert the doctor and his driver. His captors wanted him to change his clothes so that he would look more traditional, and they threatened him by telling him that they would slit his throat if he didn't convert. When I met Reginald in a small group at our church, he told us that during all of this time he was praying that the Holy Spirit would guide him and put every word on his lips and that would give testimony and witness to the love and peace of Jesus. He told his captors that he would not convert because it was only God who had given him life that had the power to take it away. Some 20 days later, in a surprise move, he and his driver were released back in Bannu, where the hospital was. His witness to Jesus' love that underpinned his deep faith along with his Christian friends, appeals to the militants to release him so that he could return to his humanitarian work in the area, worked in unison to save the two of them. Reginald said of his time in captivity that it gave him a chance to really pray and to see God's provisions in a new way. He recounted that during one long night he had seen a vision of a circle of light containing many unfamiliar faces. He said that he felt it was God's way of reassuring him that many people throughout the world were praying for him. As we know from news reports, many others kidnapped by militants were not so fortunate. Dr. Reginald's witness to our small group in Sydney has stayed with me these past 10 years, and I'm certain his witness stayed with many others as well. I was moved by just how powerful the work of the Holy Spirit can be when we find ourselves in difficult situations. And these are just two of many examples of the impact of Christians on the world around them when they act from the knowledge and love of God rather than as people of the world about them. These stories come to us to encourage us to follow the same path and to really see ourselves an extension of Jesus' love and living in this world. Christians give witness to their faith in many places every day. Sometimes it's a small act of love, and other times it is a more bold act. The Spirit of Jesus Christ empowers us as members of the body of Christ to give witness to him in this world. And we are to stand in a posture of self-giving, knowing that we stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ in this powerful mutual relationship. We are the limbs and the heart and the mouth of Jesus in this world. Giving witness to Jesus is a big responsibility we share, but we do so knowing that we are standing with God and Jesus Christ and each other, bound together as one. Amen.